What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
So the Yankees had themselves a really good weekend, and they've reached the point in their schedule where they are playing some teams that are, you know, sub 500, and this is the point where they could really take advantage of that. And this Yankee team really has always kind of been the hallmark, is that they bully bad teams.
Right.
And I think that that's where you have to take advantage of a team like the Cardinals, and you got Tampa coming up, and obviously the big one, the four-game set with the Red Sox, and you got the Astros coming up. But there's going to be some opponents here where the Yankees can clean up and sort of puff their chest. And don't look now, they're on the heels of the Red Sox. They've made some separation between themselves and Cleveland. So they had a really, really nice weekend. There are still some flaws, and I think that when they have a weekend like this, you can sort of mask it, and you can sort of look the other way, and you can deal with that down the line. I think the Yankees will obviously have their day in court. They will have their moment in October, and they will have the opportunity to prove themselves against the elite teams in the American League, and you could argue whether or not the Yankees are in that conversation. I think when they're at their best, they are an elite team.
Right, they can be an elite team. If Max Fried is pitching the way he is supposed to, Carlos Rodon striking out eight guys an outing, Will Warren, who is not pitching like a rookie and not giving up more than two runs, and the bullpen is great, and they just bludgeon you offensively, of course they can be one of the best teams. The problem is you don't see that consistently enough.
Yeah, and as far as what's going on with Stanton here, this is the Giancarlo Stanton experience. He goes on more vacations than WFN hosts in the summer. he goes on sabbatical. I mean, this is just what the deal is.
But it's like a staycation because he's not away. He's right. Just there, just not available.
He's not in Greece with the barbers, but he's just hanging because now he's I know he pinch hit, but he's missed a couple games because of soreness. Now, I understand that if you're in your car right now and you work construction and you're blue collar and you're, you know, whatever, you're any age. I'm going to be 40 tomorrow. More things are now sore on my body than ever before. Mm-hmm. And I was just talking to my mom about this the other day. I'm like, you know, Mom, I'm getting old. She's like, you're not old. I'm like, well, yes, I kind of am in terms of like I'm not 20. And I'm like, more things are sore now. So for the average guy and gal listening on the radio station who are sore, have, you know, six kids at home, they work a 9-to-5 and they're just trying to make ends meet, they hear that this, you know, millionaire is sitting on the bench and not playing in games because he's sore, and they're wondering what the deal is. Here's my take on it. I think the Yankees know. I think Stanton knows. He is on this team right now solely for what he does in October.
100%.
And what he does in October is as good as any, or as, you know, just look at the numbers, as anybody that's ever played on the Yankees. I know that seems like a bold statement, but he is great in October, and that's where he makes his bread. So you don't need him in August against St. Louis. But when they do the soreness thing, Teak, I think it just, people just roll their eyes and
well,
they go, seriously?
I mean, let's face it, based on the reality of the situation, because of Aaron Judge's, King Aaron Judge's elbow issue, and throwing is, I guess he is throwing. So I was going to say inability to throw, but his not throwing right now.
To
period.
Be in the field, inability
right.
to be in the
field. Yeah, he can't play in the field. You needed somebody to play right field, and you also needed Giancarlo Stanton's bat in the lineup because he's that good, just swinging the ball, swinging the bat. So you had to bridge it. You bridged it as best you could. You threw him out there for what, six straight days or however many it was, and while it wasn't overly taxing, it's taxing on him. That's just because it's just not what he does. He hasn't played the field consistently in 2 years. And so you had to take the risk to get Judge's and Stanton's bats in the lineup, but eventually you knew it was going to expire. And so now he's just got a pitch hit until Aaron Judge can play right field again.
Right, because when you talk about, you know, him being sore, I think it's just a a reason to put him on ice for a couple of days right. because they're trying to conserve him.
I don't think he's actually sore.
Right. This is a guy that pushes plates all the time. He's so yoked and jacked. Like, you get sore from, not that I would know, but I've heard you get sore from working out. So this is a guy that's probably been sore his entire life. Why would it keep him off of baseball players? And Tiki will love this because obviously you played a sport with a broken freaking arm, basically.
Right.
Was it the arm that you played?
Yeah.
Broken freaking arm.
Not basically.
Actually broken arm. And baseball players, let's be real, they stand in the outfield, they check out the girl in the fifth row, they eat sunflower seeds, they spit, and they watch grass grow. You could be sore, you could be decapitated and be able to stand out there in right field. Now, it'd be difficult to catch the ball if you didn't have a head, but you could just sit out there. If you're sore, what's the big deal? You know what I mean? Like, you would think you could play through soreness.
I tell you, the one thing, though, that bothered me about the soreness and why he wasn't playing and he just pinch hit was it. I think Aaron Boone said this. I think it was Aaron Boone. He said, I don't think it's going to require an IL stint. I was like, what are you talking about? Are we, an IL stint for soreness? Is that what we've come to?
That would be tough to take.
It would be very tough to take. And look, you're right. Ultimately, Giancarlo Stanton's most important availability is going to be in the postseason when they get there. And even though they're sitting in third place right now in the East, I was just looking at the probabilities of making the postseason. Mm. The Toronto Blue Jays are obviously way up at like 98, maybe yeah. 90, maybe even, I think it was 99%. The Yankees are at 78%. The Boston Red Sox are at like 24% making the playoffs.
And seriously?
Yes, even though they're half a game ahead of the Yankees right now. But the reason is because of what you were just alluding to, Tommy. The Yankee schedule is, I don't want to say it's easy because it's baseball, but it's easy based on the statistics of who they have to play going forward. And so they're going to make the postseason, and that's when you need Giancarlo Stanton to be healthy, not right now.
Yeah, and I think we've gotten to a point with baseball, and we saw that when they had the ability to say COVID. You know, he was on long after COVID was anybody was caring about it. There were guys going on the IL for COVID. Meanwhile, they were just having a fight with their baby mama or something. You know what I mean?
I need a couple days, Skip.
Skip, I'm going to need a week. She's driving me crazy. So they said, all right, you got COVID. You just tested positive. We'll put you on the COVID. But I think soreness is like the new thing where you're like, he's not on the IL because he's sore. He's on the IL because he is at a stage in his life and his career where even though he missed all this time, he still can't be out there every single day and give you what you need from him in October.
Right.
I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. So it seems comical when Aaron Boone says, boy, we almost had to put a big G on the IL for soreness. It's because they're just giving him some rest.
Right.
It's a siesta. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Let's go to Gabe in Wayne, New Jersey. What's up, Gabe?
Hey, Gabe.
Hey, Tommy, Tiki. Thanks for staying the call, guys.
What's up, dude?
I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this, but Brian Cashman's biggest trade deadline acquisition looks like it's Jose Caballero.
Right, because they can throw him in at shortstop.
I don't even think it's close.
Well, Bednar,
David Bednar's a stud. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying anything against Bednar. He's awesome, all right? The bullpen was what allegedly highlighted all those deadline moves.
Right.
But a guy like Caballero in your lineup that can steal second and third, and he could probably steal home base. He hasn't tried yet, but who knows? I mean, he just wreaks havoc on the bases, and it's somebody that the Yankees just haven't had. I mean, like, you could look at a guy like Jazz, Jason right. Dominguez, Volpe. They got the speed. Yeah, they don't get on base enough. And when they do, they don't steal. Like, I mean, they should be stealing every single time they get on base. Caballero is like, if I'm on base, I'm going to steal. I'm going to dance. I'm going to make that pitcher hate my guts. But then he's going to make a mistake to the next guy. And that's the guy the Yankees really need to shake up pitchers going into the offseason, the postseason, sorry.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the call, Gabe. And that's why I was saying that Eugenio Suarez was not the right fit for the Yankees. And he's been bad with Seattle. And look, he might have came to the Yankees and hit. But, Teak, I felt like the Yankees needed guys like McMahon, like a Caballero, that give right. them something different that they don't have.
Well, I think with Caballero in particular, I mean, how many times have we seen Anthony Volpe off shortstop?
Not often.
You can throw him in there. You can put a decent fielder, actually probably a good fielder, in at shortstop and have Volpe take those rest days that felt like they were necessary when he was going through whatever he was going through, emotional, physical, whether because Sean was always speculating about a shoulder that he hurt early in the season, but then he couldn't make the simple throws, so that clearly was confidence and a mental. Sit down, right? Take a day. And now they have someone who can do that. And then when you need to pinch run or pinch hit, Anthony Volpe for who I forgot who he came in and pinch hit for, you can throw him back at shortstop and just throw Caballero in the outfield. Like, that versatility is so valuable, especially at this part in the season when sometimes guys just need a day or two.
Yeah, guys like Caballero and guys like Luis Angel Acuña, their value cannot be totally and fully recognized and measured because of their utility, like their flexibility, the multiple positions, the speed. They are so valuable to championship teams. Yes, the King Aaron Judges. Yes, the Stantons. Yes, the Sotos. Yes, the Lindors. You need those Kike Hernandezes of the world, the Tommy Edmonds, the pain in the necks, the guys that get on base, that run, that steal, that make contact. That's what the Brewers do. I mean, they put the ball in play. Like, you don't want to have an entire lineup necessarily of that. You want to have a balance. But when you have, and that's why I go back to Suarez. Suarez was the splash play, the sexy play, and the Mariners needed him.
Yeah.
Like, adding Naylor, adding Suarez, the Mariners needed a little more beef in that lineup. Even with Rodriguez and the big dumper, they still needed to add a few more power bats. The Yankees, that wasn't what they needed. They needed McMahon, who could give you a good glove at third base, pop the occasional homer, a guy that could give you utility, backup shortstop, because the golden boy, Volpe, they never want to take him out of the lineup, but now you have a guy that could force Boone and really Brian Cashman's hand, you know? 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Evan and Tiki here. Tommy and Tiki on the Fan. Let's go to Jimmy in Manalapan. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, guys. You guys are very good together. I went a little geeky like Evan today.
Nice.
I checked out Giancarlo's stats for the last 7 years.
Okay.
Not counting out this year. He averages playing 94 games.
Mm-hmm.
He misses 68.
Yeah.
He has an average of 85 hits per year, an average of 23 home runs, and 117 strikeouts, and a .245 average. For the amount of time he plays, he's pretty valuable for them.
No, he's very valuable for them, and especially this season when he's hitting .300 almost. You know, I missed so much time early in the season, so, you know, I don't think he's going to get to that number, that average number that you looked up, Jimmy, but if he's got to take a break because he needs a break, let him take a break. We saw what he did in the postseason a year ago.
I'm a big Red Sox fan, so I take it. I hope he takes a break this weekend.
Jimmy, appreciate the call. And now do the October numbers. You know what I mean? Like, that's really where he makes his hay. And if he needs a break, he needs a break. I mean, that's the way it goes. When you can deliver and perform. We see it in football now, guys, you know, they don't want to play the preseason, although there's been a little bit of a resurgence with that, especially
changing,
quarterback.
Dude.
Yeah, quarterback is changing.
I think it's absolutely changing.
I don't know if you were here for it, Teak. I think you were, but my conspiracy theory on it, and I think Evan alluded to it in a different way, week one in the NFL has now become a bleep show.
Right.
It's just a bad product. And last year, I thought overall the season, we love football, but the product was terrible.
Almost like the whole first month.
Right. Do you think it's possible that the commish called up John Merrill, all the owners, and said, I can't have this over the first month.
Yeah,
you've got to get these players out there in preseason so the product is better in the first month.
Well, I mean, I only know this from having conversations with, you know, around the NFL. And the NFL gets frustrated that the teams.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Coaches don't care about the preseason, right? Because if you're not going to care about the game, then why are we playing the games?
Right.
And so it's one of the reasons that they want to kick the third preseason game out the window and make 18 regular season games, because the product has to be a good product. And so I think it's partly because of pressure from teams and from the league and from the owners that guys are playing. But I also think as a coach, and there's a lot of like new young coaches in this league, the last thing you want or can afford is to suck at the beginning of the year.
Right.
You just, because you're not going to survive it. If you're Andy Reid and you get off to a 2-4 start, guess what? You're going to be all right. because people believe you're going to figure it out and turn it around. And even if you have a down season, you're going to survive it. But if you're Aaron Glenn and you go 2-6 and you finish the season, I don't know, 5-12, and then the next season starts the same way, the script is written on you already. So you can't afford it. So the preseason, I think, has started to become more important. And even if I'm not looking at all the teams in the preseason, but I know for the Giants, every week Dave says whoever can play is going to play, right? If guys are healthy, they're going to play. And we saw that in week one, and we saw it again in week two with the starters and Russell Wilson and the defense and both sides of the ball playing pretty good parts of the first quarters and even into the second.
Yeah, and the thing with the Chiefs, who do play their starters a lot in the preseason, Mahomes like always plays in the preseason,
right. They
are so good at, I know this is going to sound funny, at winning games, but it's true. Like, they know how to win. They can win 30-28. They can win, 15-13. So they know how to navigate those early waters if they're a bit rusty.
Right.
You brought up the Jets, who are just learning how to win with a new head coach, and we'll get into the Jets and the Giants more later on the show, what we saw on Saturday night. But yeah, I just think overall, to me, I can't remember, we all love the NFL for various reasons. If you love the action, the gambling, the fantasy, just the pageantry of football, we all love it. I fully believe that if there was a game on at 3 a.m. in some foreign country that the Barbers haven't visited yet,
right.
And it was on a streaming service that your Uncle Louie doesn't have yet, we'd all figure out a way to find it and watch it because we love the NFL. But I thought the product last year stunk. I just thought the games weren't very good. There's just so many bad quarterbacks and teams, and you're not going to fix it by just playing in the preseason, but maybe it'll help these teams get off to better starts quality-wise. At least the games will be better, and we don't have to sit through horrible September football. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Luke is in Long Island. What's up, Luke?
Hey, Luke.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate it.
I just wanted to jump on quick. To give you guys some advice about Greece, because I went there a few years ago.
Nice. Tell me.
Awesome place. Tommy?
Yeah.
You got to check out this place called Cabo Paradiso.
Okay.
I went there in July.
Cabo
for
Paradiso.
20 days straight.
Wait, hold
20
on.
Days straight.
You went there for 20. So this is obviously in Mykonos, you're saying, in Greece?
Yes, I apologize. Yeah.
No, it's okay. Which has become now the new, I've been told it's like the new Ibiza. It's like the new party island, a place to go. You were there for 20 days straight? What are you, Giancarlo Stanton? How did you get that much time? What are you, Mike Francesa? How do you have that many off days? You boomer?
I was there for 12 days, but they had the top DJs in the world. One each had their own day there. And like tickets were like $25. It was like Sinclair, Tempo GT, like a whole bunch of them. They were awesome.
And this is like it's like an outdoor thing, I assume, like almost like a beach setting. Like,
yeah,
give me
I'm
a
looking
little
at it now. This thing looks ridiculous.
Well, I can't get on the internet right. Oh, now I can. They fixed my computer. All right, give me the name again. Here,
Cabo please. Paradiso.
Cabo. All right, I'll
Cavo Paradiso.
See you in 20 minutes. Cabo
Paradiso. And then you got the Tropicana, Tommy.
All right.
Oh, see, you're telling Tommy all these places, Luke, that I can't go to because I have my kids with me.
Okay, so Luke, I'm looking at Cabo Paradiso right now. This looks exactly like a place in Ibiza called Ushuaia that I've always wanted to go to. It looks like if somehow I am going to make it to Ibiza at some point in my life, but it has like the same type of setting. They have like a pool just like this place,
massive pool.
Oh yeah, this is just you know what, Luke. And any more tips for Tiki that
no,
he could actually do as a married man?
These are for you,
Tiki. Rent an ATV.
Yeah,
instead of a car, it's really cool.
Because
you can drive up as close to the beach as possible. Check out Little Venice, it's called.
Little Venice.
Little cool little area.
I will do that. Little Venice. I appreciate you, man. Little Venice in Greece.
Wow, I'm just looking. Nice. I'm down the rabbit hole of Cabo. It's funny. He said he was there for 20 days, then he was there for 12. Maybe 12 felt like 20, which it can if you're at a place like Cabo Paradiso. I can tell you that for a fact. If you're maybe that's what he meant. So when I was in Nashville celebrating my birthday month, we ran into multiple sets of girls from Ireland, which was kind of ironic. But this is the thing that fascinated me about talking to these girls. And this is just a European thing. And we have to adopt this in our society because we are missing out. And I brought this up to you before, Tiki, how we go on vacation here and people in Europe go on holiday.
Holiday.
Right.
Yes.
So when we go on vacation here, we get publicly shamed by our audience that we're off. And we also get emails from our company like every 5 seconds or texts from the bosses. It's like, you know, can I be off for 3 days? I can't. But the point is that it's, or this is the other thing too. You got Evan and Sean. They were arguing sports yesterday in our group chat. They're off. They're never going to have this conversation on the air. Yet they found an hour to waste my time and Tiki's time. That's arguing true. About Abdul Carter. Can you go on vacation? So we here in America sometimes don't know how to disconnect. Where in Europe, they go on holiday. All right, Irish girls from Nashville. I was talking to this one gal, and she told me that she has been in this country on holiday since May. Her and her, like,
how is she here? Is she, like, on a travel visa? Like, what is she on? How's she here?
I don't know. Now, I know that a lot of people in Europe, when they graduate college, they take, like, a year vacation.
Oh, yes.
She was in her mid-20s, so I highly doubt that she had just graduated. Unless she's, like, a doctor. I doubt she was in college. Who am I to judge? I mean, Wilder was in school for 15 years.
He could have left school, high school, and then just traveled and then went to college and graduated later. I don't know.
Right. I don't know. And I tried to get as much details as I can. It was late night in the bar, so there's only so many details you can get at that point. And she was there with eight girls, other girls, and how could I put this? They were all hot. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm, well, they were. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, wait, hold on a second. So you've been on holiday in America. She's like, yeah, I haven't been in my bed since the end of May. Now, if I was single, I would have hit her with a real good line there, but I wasn't, so I wasn't going to hit her with anything. She said they were in Chicago. They had just been in Nashville, obviously, where we saw them. They were going to Vegas for 5 days. She's like, I'm like, 5 days in Vegas? She goes, don't worry, we're Irish. I go, I don't care if you're Irish or not. That's a lot. And then they were going to, like, California. And I'm sitting there going, why do we not have this in our country where we could just go on vacation for months? Right. Now, I don't know how financially she was able to figure out. I asked her, like, clothes-wise.
Wait, does she have a job? Is she not working?
I don't know. She was hitting the vape, that I do know, so I don't know if that's an occupation, but I was trying to figure.
That sounds like rich parents to me.
Well, but, all right, forget, all right, so for, let's financially, let's just say she has rich parents. Let's say all eight girls, and when you're a girl and you go on vacation.
All it takes is one of them to be rich.
Right, and you don't need as much money as dudes because, and let's be honest, I'm not saying anything here, I know it's 2025. If you're girls, you could get guys to pay for stuff when you're on vacation. I don't think that's going to change ever. How do you logistically do that with clothes?
I don't know.
Are you just like wash? I guess you could technically like wash your clothes as you go. But
you,
like,
know what's funny? Every like
holiday,
we travel lightly. Me and my wife and the kid. When we go someplace, even if we're there for a while, we travel lightly. But we'll see other people that have, I mean, 10 suitcases.
My wife is like that,
and I'm like, 10. It's like the hassle of carrying that many suitcases or transporting them is not worth like having an outfit for every day that you're gone.
Right.
You find ways. You find a washer and dryer. You air hang it. I don't know. Whatever you got to do.
Are you dropping it off at like a hotel laundry situation or are you against that?
I have done that before.
Okay. You have done that.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm thinking. Because
they're actually, I mean, I don't know, they cost too much, but whatever. It's actually really effective to use the hotel laundry.
Right. Yeah. And they have the.
They're in your closet. They're telling you, we will wash your clothes. Most people just don't do it.
I just want to go on holiday. Evan always admires this about me, and Tiki's the same way. When I go on vacation, I'm on vacation. You will not hear from me. I'm like Bradley Cooper in that scene in The Hangover when the kids, school's out for the summer, you don't know me. Because I think that we do work so hard in this country. We're stressed out. We got a lot of things going on. We get a couple of weeks out of the year, and for most people, maybe one opportunity to go away on vacation.
Right.
You should enjoy it the best way you can. These Irish girls, they've gone all over the country. They were going to L.A., they were going to San Diego, and I'm telling you, they're not going to church when they're there, so they're having a good time, they're partying, and they're gone for months. I guess they packed a lot of clothes or a lot of suitcases, and we're in this country, and we go away for 4 days, and everybody,
and you
get shamed
bad.
For it.
And you feel
yes!
bad.
And half the time, you're doing live Rico Bronyas from the Louvre.
Well, that's Evan did a Rico last night.
No, he didn't.
And Hoff was on it there, too. Isn't Hoff in Disney?
Yeah, Hoff's on vacation. Evan's on vacation. They're both on Zoom chat, Zoom cameras, looking like they're in a jail cell.
They're psychopaths. Oh,
I'm
like
a loser.
The hostage camera.
Yes.
I understand they have a Rico Bronya audience. And I understand, you know, when you're a podcast, you could do it remotely and stuff like that. And look, when you're in Disney and it gets, and I think the Hoffmans just got there yesterday, so maybe they weren't even at the parks. And Evan is more of a, it's almost like a staycation because he's in the Carolinas.
No, I think, I think Hoff's family was already there.
What?
He met them.
Come on.
Because he had to work the Giant game. I'm not kidding.
So what do you mean, him at Epcot? And then basically at the Ratatouille
ride? No, I think
ride?
It was all Disney. It was all Disney.
Oh, the Hoffman. These people that, and we'll get back to you.
I think it's like a 12-day trip too.
These Disney people. We got on the holiday people, which I wish on. I don't know how people go to Disney. You go to I went to Epcot with my wife. We were down in Florida for something, vacation like a year or so ago. And we went to Epcot. Within 5 minutes of being into the park, there was this little kid with her parents, and she was having, which I don't know how to describe it other than it was a mental meltdown, where she had a toy that she was dragging on the ground. They had a stroller. She wasn't in it, of course. Daddy had to walk around, you know, carrying her the entire time. She's crying. She's yelling. It was 9 a.m. What could be so bad in this girl's life at 9 a.m. that she's having a meltdown? And all I could think of was they dropped $10,000 to be here, and the kid's miserable. So the Hoffmans, the McMonagles, I think they're in Disney too. C-Mac's off as well.
No, he's in Italy.
Excuse me?
He's in Sicily.
Huh.
For 2 weeks.
2 weeks in Italy? Boy.
Mm.
I better hire an agent for my next contract. C-Mac's got enough money to go to Italy. I could barely go to Nashville for 4 days.
I'm going to be touching it the entire drive home.
Well, that's your prerogative. And these chicks that I met are, you know, in America for 4 months.
On holiday.
On holiday.
Not vacation. On holiday.
888-808-1019 is the number to call. We'll get back to your sports in just 1 second. Why I think the Yankees have a Max Fried problem. All right, 341 here on The Fan. Evan and Tiki, Tommy Lugauer, Tiki Barber. Evan and Sean are on vacation. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. And it was a great weekend for the Yankees, but not everything is great in Yankee Land, Tiki. And I believe the Yankees have a Max Fried problem.
Uh-oh.
Now, I'm normally not a stat guy, but in this situation, I think it's call for it. And I printed out Max Fried's stats over the last, you know, several starts, including this past weekend against the Cardinals, in which he gave up 7 runs in 5 innings. Then he gave up 4 runs in 5 innings against the Astros, 4 runs in 5 innings against the Rangers, 4 runs against the Rays, only 2 of them earned, 6 runs against the Blue Jays. And that dates back to about mid-July or so. And even the starts before that weren't exactly spectacular. He had once had a 1.92 ERA. It's up to 3.26. Now, we've speculated whether or not he's hurt with the blisters, et cetera. Bottom line is, Tiki, the Yankees are going to need Max Fried when they get to October to be their ace, to be their stopper. And he has gone completely backwards after that great first half.
Right, he has. And it's part of a larger issue. And it's more of a trust thing. If you're the Yankees right now and you're going into the postseason and you're saying, this is our starting rotation. Right now, it's Max Fried, Carlos Rodon, and Will Warren.
Mm-hmm.
And is that good enough? The answer is probably no, unless Max Fried rediscovers his unbelievable start, whether Carlos Rodon turns into an elite strikeout pitcher. And maybe, forget Will Warren, maybe Luis Gil becomes the pitcher that he was a year ago. Now, he's not off to a great start, even though he is 1-1 in his 3 starts, I think, he's had since he's come back. So it doesn't feel like an ideal situation for the Yankees. But as we always say, you just need one guy to be that ace. You need one guy who you can count on to stabilize you. And for so much of this season, that's who Max Fried was. Remember, Evan kept throwing that stat out after the loss. You know, his ERA and his was sub-1. And he'd always win these games after they would lose. He's not that pitcher right now. And that doesn't portend good things for this Yankees team going forward.
Yeah, it's just been, and it's kind of been almost a little bit under the radar. When you look at, you know, some of the things that have been going on in New York sports, it's been, but steadily, he's just been having bad game after bad game. Now, look, he's probably not as good as he was in the first half as far as, he's a great pitcher. I'm not taking anything away from him. And the reason I had the take I did about Clay Holmes having a better Met career than Max Fried with the Yankees is because Fried is signed to, what, an eight-year deal? He's already in his early 30s. I think it's going to be a disaster at the back end. That's why I had that take. And you're getting Clay Holmes more in his prime, and you get the best of him, where Max Fried, there's going to be points in his Yankee career where he's just broken down. And it just happens to all starting pitchers. So it's more about the contract with him.
Right.
But this is year one, and he has a 3.26 ERA right now. And he's going backwards. And if you're going to compete with these teams, forget down the stretch. They have enough to get through. They'll make the postseason. But when you get to October, you're going to need first half Max Fried. You are going to need him at his best if you're going to advance and get back to a World Series for the second straight year. And right now, I have absolutely zero confidence that that's going to happen unless he strings together, you know, two, three starts in a row where he's getting to the sixth, seventh inning, maybe even the eighth inning, and he's mowing hitters down like he did early in the year, which he has not done in seemingly months. Like, he has just not been good for a while now. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Vernon in Atlanta. What's up, Vernon?
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
See, Loogie, see, you need to stop, man. Come on now. Listen. Tiki.
What's up?
Get CC to talk to Loogie about this pitching situation with these pitches. Matt Free is still winning. Is he gaining any losses behind these bad starts?
Well, he's not, but it's not encouraging when you think about some of the teams they're going to face when they get to the postseason. You can't give up seven runs versus, say, the Astros. You just can't do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, when the playoffs come, the Yankees will be ready, and that's a guarantee from a 56-year-old fan, right?
I like it.
Loogie,
yeah.
You're doing this mainly because of you and Sean Beck, and we know that. But on my giant question, Tiki, this is a serious question now.
Go ahead.
I've been a fan for 56 years now, right? Not seen Fran Tarkenton play with the Giants, even though they didn't win much back then.
Yeah.
He was the quarterback.
Right.
But what I want to get at is, right, okay, Jackson Dart. Right. I seen him play 2 years down here with Ole Miss, right? He has good starts. He plays good. But when the pressure gets on him, he kind of wet in the bed. You know, that's all I'm saying. He's not a bad quarterback.
Right. We haven't seen that yet, Vernon.
But see, Tiki, this is just preseason.
I know.
I think the Giants should go with Russ. And Jameis don't look bad at all, man. You see him threw the ball off balance.
Yeah, that one where he scrambled. Line. Yeah, he scrambled and hit it, then hit Cambry down the sideline. That was a hell of a throw.
Hey, but you know, son, Tiki, that makes me go back and say, why all these years we had to go under Danny Penny's all these years, man. He ain't getting nothing like that, man.
Right.
Have a great day, man.
I appreciate you, Vernon. I mean, he brings up a good point. Yeah. I mean, part of the problem is that the Giants shopped in the bargain basement for their quarterbacks and backup quarterbacks. And so, I think Russell Wilson's washed. And so when you got these guys who were just, like, not good, you knew that they weren't going to be good, and then they have to play, you had no chance. And I mean, obviously Daniel Jones had potential, but you can feel the frustration in Dave's over the last two seasons, really, with his inability to want to throw the ball downfield. He just didn't want to do it. And so you go get Russ and you go get Jameis, mainly because they'll throw the ball down the field.
No doubt.
Right? Even if it's sometimes it's ill-advised, they'll throw the ball down the field.
Yeah, Russ can still hit the home run. Jameis, obviously. He doesn't know where it's going half the time, but he can get big plays.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing for Jackson Dart to learn from. And by the way, he's right about Jackson Dart. He has seen zero pressure in the preseason at all. I mean, maybe he got sacked. No, he didn't get sacked at all. I think they've only given up two sacks. One of them was basically Jameis Winston not getting rid of the ball when he should have, but he hasn't seen any pressure. So we're going to start getting calls over the next couple of days, and maybe even after the third preseason game where he's likely to play a lot because he's going to look good because he's seen vanilla defenses. Jackson Dart should start. Jackson Dart should start. Jackson Dart should start. It is a completely different game once you get to the regular season.
Absolutely.
Rookies suck.
And yeah, they're dumb too. Right. And we will get more into what happened on Saturday night with the Giants and the Jets in the next hour. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Kendrick and Suffren. What's up, Kendrick?
What's up, guys? Great show. You guys have a good chemistry going here today. So I do want to go back and circle back to Nolan McLean's start. You guys talked about that earlier in the show. You know, I got a new saying for him. That's all gas, two stakes, because his dad might have made a claim that his son had two stakes before the game.
Yes.
But Nolan McLean claimed a stake in that starting rotation for the future, because the way I see it is that guy is an ox. He's got like moxie that, you know, some of our other guys who can't get through the fifth inning already showed. And I think you look at his background, his pedigree, he was recruited and he redshirted his freshman year at Oklahoma State as a quarterback,
right.
You know, a Big 12 quarterback. You know, that to me as a, you know, a youth coach, I always preach that you got to play multiple sports because you can transfer things that you learn in one sport to the other. And I think as a quarterback, you know, you can't be scared to throw the ball if you throw an interception one side of the field, right? Like, you can't just say, okay, I'm not throwing that pitch again. Like, if you come up as a pitcher and all of a sudden a guy hits a home run off of you, you might not throw that pitch again. You have that little bit of a fear in the back of your mind. Whereas a quarterback, you throw an interception, you got to keep throwing, man. There's no way around it. So to me, Nolan McLean has the pedigree. He's got the skill. He's got the talent. I'm super hyped up for what I saw out of him. And Tommy, you said it was brewing in Queens, but I think what was special that it was brewing for the Mets was in Syracuse and Binghamton, because I think this stretch run, and I'm going to equate it to Thibodeau here from the Knicks, your buddy, your old buddy.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't ready for the playoffs. We always talked about how he's a regular season coach. He never experimented, but you know, with whether it's the bullpen now, whether it's now these young kids coming up in September, now's the time to figure out who you want and where you want to use them. Because when we look back at the Knicks season, I still remember Tom Thibodeau saying, like, we're going to figure it out. And they were in the playoffs. Like, now Mendoza has the opportunity to have a healthy staff coming into the stretch. And I'm just hoping that this youth injected into this season is going to be that, like, heartbeat. You know, we were kind of flatlining there. You bring up some young kids, and that injects some life into this team. And I do think now, Tommy, something is brewing in Queens.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Kendrick. I thought it was a great point, you know, sort of tying it back to the Knicks. And it was something that I said all season long, that I wanted to see more of Huck Porty. I wanted to see more of Kolick. I wanted to see more of Dottie. I want to see more of the bench and try to develop these younger players, Tiki, because when you get to the playoffs, you can lean on these guys more. And Tibbs never did that. So when we got to the playoffs and he had no choice but to go to DeLon Wright and Shamet. I understand they're a little bit older, but the point is that you're right. You want to see what you have with these young players, guys in the minors that can not only give you that jolt of enthusiasm, but it gives you other chess pieces come October where maybe you didn't think McLean could help you, but he can because he had that experience in August and September.
Oh, no, he definitely can help you. He was unflappable. Even with the you talk about the backhanded stab. I mean, that was ridiculous. I mean, first of all, they stick his glove out and get it. That's just random luck. But then the wherewithal, the turnaround, throw a bullet right on target to Beatty at second, turn a double play. I mean, it just, like, those are the type of things that lift you in that moment. And then you talk about it and it carries on. It keeps, like, manifesting, keeps multiplying the effect of having a good start like that. So I think he absolutely has a chance to earn himself a spot in this postseason rotation, especially if he keeps doing this, you know, start after start.
Yeah, and Kendrick brought it up. You know, he's an athlete, played quarterback, mm-hmm. He was a Polk, he was at Okie State, has the, you know, the guns, you know, he's feeding the pythons, 80s for the ladies. The one thing I would say is, and I kind of go rock back, I have the bro beard today, I'm fully shaven. The goatee kind of looks like the guy in the porn movies that is there to fix the plumbing but doesn't actually fix the plumbing. I don't love it. He could have it. That's cool. But I was just kind of like, you know, either go mustache, go bro beard. But the goatee looks like an accountant.
He looks like he's 45.
Yeah, he looks like he's 45.
He looks like he's 45.
Right. And maybe,
but didn't he have a full, like, a beard?
He was rocking with more, but he had like a little.
No. I mean, prior to coming.
That's what I'm saying. In the minors?
In the minors. I felt like he had like a like a beard.
Yeah, and he kind of went goatee here, and like I said, he looks like the guy. Hi, I'm here to fix the cable.
The guy's 24. He was born in 2001. He looks like he's 44. It's crazy.
Yeah,
I said the same thing. I looked at him. I was like, the guy's, how old is this guy?
It's the goatee.
He does look older.
He looks like he's sitting in some cubicle somewhere just waiting for to get the 5 o'clock, and he's like the son-in-law of the boss. You know what I mean? He's a total nitwit. You know what I mean? But then when you zoom down, he's got bigger muscles than Tiki.
I know.
He's a strong dude, and he ate 2 Wagyu steaks the day before.
How old does he look if I didn't tell you he was 21? Or 24.
He looks like he's 35. Seriously.
I know.
And he's got shoulders like he's a football player.
That's
like
that goatee.
Like his traps.
He's got to get rid
of
the goatee.
Massive traps. Kid's a good looking. He's a good looking kid.
Oh, he's great looking.
Like physically, he's a good looking kid.
Absolutely. Thoroughbred. All right, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Tommy Lugauer, Tiki Barber, Evan and Tiki here. Sean and Evan are on vacation. We will get into the football now next hour. Here on The Fan, Jackson Dart, the Jets' first-team offense, Abdul Carter, what he had to say on social media after he was a viral sensation for the wrong thing on Saturday night. So, again, we'll get into all that coming up here. 888-808-1019, Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.